You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. ZANU-PF says it will continue its look east policy despite criticism that Asian nations are plundering Zimbabwe's natural resources without national benefits.
I have been on record on this thing. Chinese raiders in a number of strategic areas. So for anybody to suggest that the Chinese are not doing anything and so on, it's daydreaming.
The Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association is expected to hold its annual general meeting in the city on Sunday amid reports that it is an appendage of the MTCT.
Yes, my question is on record that it is differed with people from all the political parties, the key political parties, for instance, ZANU-PF, ZANU-PF decisions at times. We have also differed with some of the decisions made by MDCs.
And Zimbabwean teachers say a large number of students are likely to fail this year following the scrapping of teacher incentives 3 months ago. Stay tuned. ZANU-PF says it will continue its look east policy despite criticism that Asian nations are plundering Zimbabwe's natural resources without tangible national benefits. Responding to queries on the exclusion of President Robert Mugabe from the forthcoming Africa Summit starting Monday, ZANU-PF spokesman Rukari Kumbo said they are pursuing the look east policy as the country is still under sanctions imposed by the West. Kumbo told Studio 7 Zimbabwe is even looking for stronger ties with Russia and some Asian nations, including China. How significant is this summit as far as you're concerned?
It might affect other African countries, but it doesn't affect Zimbabwe.
As far as some people are concerned, they're always saying that the look east policy is not working. But at the end of the day, we are told that they've been investing in Zimbabwe. Can you give us the rundown? Is there any significant investment from China?
I've been on record on this thing. Chinese helped us in a number of ways, strategic areas. We have just from Kabogo International Airport in Zimbabwe. They are expanding. Just go there and see for yourself. For those who have not been there, I appeal to them to see what is happening. The Zambezi River project is being done by the Chinese. Then we have coal and methane gas. The Caribbean South, it is being done by Chinese. So for anybody to suggest that the Chinese are not doing anything and so on, it's daydreaming. The president will be going to China towards the end of this month. Namasa is in Asia. The Russian foreign minister will be coming to Zimbabwe. And as far as you are concerned, that is enough.
That was ZANU-PF spokesman Rukari Kumbo speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. 50 African heads of states are expected to attend the U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit hosted by President Barack Obama, designed to boost political and economic ties with America. The Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association is expected to hold its annual general meeting in the city on Sunday amid reports that it is an appendage of the MTCT. Organizing Secretary Ambrose Sibindi says more than 600 delegates are expected to attend the meeting. He speaks to Studio 7's Chris Gandhi about the meeting and related issues.
Well, what will be happening on Sunday is an organization, that is the Bulawayo Progressive Association, will be meeting at the International Trade Fair grounds, where we will start as the People's Convention. This is an elective convention, whereby our structures from all the 9 wards will converge to elect the leadership to coordinate at the Executive Council to coordinate all the wards. And as I speak now, everything has been put in place and we are ready to go. This is as our constitution, which stipulates that after every 4 years, we need to come together and elect the Executive Council. So we expect slightly above 600 delegates to come and take part in this election.
There's been some fears that residents' associations are being used by politicians. What can you say about your organization?
Well, what I can say, yes, we have normally heard those fears that residents' associations may be affiliated to given political parties, but are on record as my association is on record that it is differed with people from all the political parties, the key political parties. For instance, ZANU-PF was differed with ZANU-PF decisions. The Times, we have also differed with some of the decisions made by MDCs.
That was Ambrose Bindi of the Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association speaking with Chris Kande from Bulawayo. Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA. Teachers in Zimbabwe say a large number of students are likely to fail this year following the scrapping of teacher incentives 3 months ago. Cabinet blocked the incentives, saying some teachers were abusing the system for personal benefits. Some teachers were getting at least $300 a month for conducting extra lessons for pupils and students. Teacher Itai Dube of Bigita tells Studio 7 the government's move was ill-advised.
Teachers are now getting paid their little salaries that they are used to. They are no longer in 20s, and students now go for free to, for their entrance tests. And everything has been banned that benefits the teacher in extra money.
So how is life without incentives?
It has been a little bit difficult because some teachers developed themselves with the incentives. It was a cushion for on top of the little salary they are getting. They were getting. Some bought cars, some had to build houses. But now with the abrupt stop of incentives, it's quite different, to the teachers.
Looking at children now that there are no incentives, so they are going for examinations without any kind of extra exercises. How are they coping?
The students are no longer getting the holiday lessons and the extra lessons. It's now normal lessons, but some of the students are used to getting that extra time. It used to help, especially the slow learners. The teacher would fight. And at the end, people were now getting better results. But now there are no longer this extra time. The teacher would teach as normal, at the normal time. That student who is lagging behind, will lag. Because the teacher has about more than 40 to 50 students in a class. You have to teach, you have to do this and that. So to get more time to concentrate on these lagging children, we feel the government could have given us that little chance for the teachers to teach our children if they are willing on extra time.
So now, do you expect the pass rate to go down this year because of the incentive issue?
It's not necessarily the incentive issue, but we are looking at the extra time that was given to the students. I feel we might notice some changes here and there.
And that will have a negative impact on Zimbabwe's education system. Am I right there?
Yeah, it was abrupt. I think it was supposed to be gradually done. Not just to say abruptly stop. It's hard. So there are some teachers who were much willing to teach even Saturdays for free. But now, if you are seeing, there are questions here and there, it becomes very tough.
That was Bigita teacher Itai Dube speaking with Studio 7 from Maswingo Province. It's now time for the Women's Forum with Marvelous.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women, hosted by Marvelous Nhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. Today we are speaking to Rumbidzai Dube, a legal researcher in the Research and Advocacy Unit in Zimbabwe. Rumbidzai Dube is also one of the fellows that were on the Mandela Young Leaders Fellowship that just ended in Washington. Rumbidzai will be extending her stay in Washington for another 8 weeks. We caught up with Rumbidzai to find out what exactly she will be doing in the forthcoming 8 weeks. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Rumbidzai.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Rumbidzai, some of your fellows on the Mandela Young African Leaders Fellows just left for Zimbabwe, but you are remaining in the U.S. What are you going to be doing in the U.S.?
I am actually going to be working with the Department of State in Ohio, attached to their Criminal Services and Criminal Justice Department, specifically working on the issue of human trafficking.
How do you think your time there with the State Department in Ohio will benefit you when you return to Zimbabwe?
One of the things that I feel has been given very little attention in Zimbabwe, one of the human rights issues that I feel is critical but has been given very little attention in terms of research, in terms of advocacy, in terms of services, is the issue of human trafficking. Very few people understand what human trafficking is. They also do not understand its consequences, its causes, its impact, and even the prevalence in the Zimbabwean context. What I am going to use the practice that I will get from my attachment is to go back home and use every piece of information that I would have gathered through the Criminal Services Department to apply it in redressing the issue of human trafficking. So what I'm going to be doing is working with the department. They just got a new law in that state to address trafficking. So it will be working with the department to understand how best to implement the law, to understand the critical stakeholders in implementing the law, to understand the best way of giving legal assistance, social services to the victims, in giving them rehabilitation in back into the community. So I feel this is going to be really important for me and for my country.
Looking at the case of Zimbabwe, can you define human trafficking in the Zimbabwean sense?
Human trafficking is the exploitation of human beings for profit. It takes many forms, including forced sexual exploitation, where girls and boys are taken and used, forced to have sex. They do not get anything out of it. They are more like sexual slaves that are used by their owners. And we also have another form of trafficking that includes forced labor, where people are taken to different places with promises of employment. But once they get there, they work under very harsh conditions. They're paid very little or nothing at all, and they have no means of going back. You also have trafficking for purposes of forced marriage, where young girls are taken and are forced into marriage with men that they do not know and without their consent. You also have another form of trafficking, which includes domestic servitude. And this involves people being taken from their places of comfort where they feel safe, with promises of job, and then they're taken by individuals, kept in their houses, forced to perform domestic chores with very little to get out of it. But and then the last form of trafficking is organ trafficking, where these people who are involved in trafficking take individuals, rip them open, take their hearts, their kidneys, their internal organs that are very important, and for you know how expensive it is for someone to get a heart transplant or a kidney transplant. So they take these organs and then they sell them. In Zimbabwe, we usually like to assign such events to rituals, right? Like we say, Ndezveku kunanga. People want to use these organs to create concoctions, to make money, or to do other things. But we have never really quite established to what extent is this happening? How many people who have disappeared or who have been found dead or who have been found cut open were actually victims of this form of trafficking? How often is it occurring? What can be done to address this? How do we raise awareness around these issues? And what are the police doing to address this issue and to raise awareness in communities about the occurrence of these things?
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Rumbidzai Dube, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Rumbidzai Dube, a legal researcher for the Research and Advocacy Unit in Zimbabwe.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyawuye. And finally, in sports news, the Zimbabwe cricket team is in danger of losing its paying public following a dismal performance against Afghanistan. Reporter Michael Kariati has more details from Harare.
The Zimbabwe cricket team's shock 35-run defeat to Afghanistan in the first of their 2 4-day matches has been met with anger by cricket followers who are saying losing to an associate member is unacceptable. Nobody really expected Afghanistan to force a draw against Zimbabwe in the 4 1-day internationals or ODIs, and more importantly, to take a 1-0 lead in the 2 4-day matches. Defeat for the Zimbabweans at the country club in the second 4-day matches starting tomorrow will not do any good to their reputation. The team still commands a large following whenever playing at home. But with the way the local boys are playing, it will not be long before the public starts losing patience and boycotting matches. Although this might not have an immediate impact, it is something that the team has to stop by posting acceptable results, including rising from the dead by winning and forcing a series 1-0 draw in the second of the 4-day game against the visiting Afghanistans. The gap between Zimbabwe and other test-playing nations is widening, while the country's field performance and that of non-test-playing nations has narrowed. What is even disturbing is the fact that losing to Afghanistan has once again dragged the international cricket community to the debate as to whether the chevrons should have been allowed back into test cricket. The debate is further buttressed by the fact that Zimbabwe have not won for the past year, and former footballer Alec Mohoni says it will take a long time for Zimbabwe to recover. So far, the results of the Afghanistan tour have raised fears as to what to expect from Zimbabwe in the one-off tests and ODIs against South Africa and the triangular series against Australia, which begin with the test against the Proteas on August 7. Assistant coach Steve Mangongo said the Zimbabwean team has not had much time over the past few months, but believe the players should overcome that. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
The music of Vivian coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap today's top stories. ZANU-PF says it will continue its look east policy despite criticism that Asian nations are plundering Zimbabwe's natural resources without tangible national benefits. The Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association is expected to hold its annual general meeting in the city on Sunday amid reports that it is an appendage of the MTCT. And Zimbabwean teachers say a large number of students are likely to fail this year following the scrapping of teacher incentives 3 months ago. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Durban with Chris Kande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.
Siyabonga Kip Stube. Salamukela emsakazweni weStudio 7 ngomgqibelo mhlaka 1 ngoNcwabakazi 2014 silethulela uhlelo lwezindaba zeZimbabwe. Lingali tshona njani izulukandaba olamukela emweni ngenjabulo nguChris Gande endabeni zethu lamhlanje. inhlanganiso yezakhamizi zakobulawayo yenza ukhetho lokudinga inkokheli. Sizezwa ukuthi ngobani abazancintisa.